till you when you just before you start flick yourself.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, well, we're about to start, so make sure you're...
Yeah, really.
You're already on mute.
Really? I don't think so.
Already on mute. Yeah.
I think it's on, right?
It's already on.
All right.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Shivam, and I work for KDAB, and I also work this summer, Google Summer of Code, in with LLVM. Working on this project, this mapping LLVM values to the corresponding source level expressions. But why? So the challenge of understanding the compiler optimizations. So compilers are basically performing different sorts of optimizations, and it's not always possible that it's gonna be optimize your code or basically vectorize. So we basically, our motivation was vectorization for the first, because we wanted to include those optimization remarks in for the vectorization part. So our motivation was vectorization. So it's not always possible. So your compiler can always vectorize your code. So there's some sort of data dependencies there. That's why your compilers cannot actually vectorize all the time. So on that cases, you have to emit a good remarks. And I'll let you know what currently Clang actually generates as a remark. So understanding why and how these optimization occurs is not always straightforward. Even the authors of vectorizer don't know what's going on if the vectorization didn't happen. So consider this example. So you can see there is a data dependencies between A of I and A of I plus 3. So this loop, Clang will not be able to vectorize this code. Okay, so see this remark that produced by the Clang, which is that loop not vectorized. You can use pragma loop distribute, so you can compiler tries to distribute the loop, and it might be able to vectorize in some sense. But just see the remarks. It's not clear that what actually gone wrong here, and where's the data dependency. It's not telling you that where the data dependency actually was, and so you can improve the code itself, right? So it's just that remarks, and you can see this not actually clear, right? So it's a bit unclear. And if you can have such this remarks, nothing much, just two expressions along the dependence source and the dependence destination, for example. So you know that, okay, there is a data dependencies between these two locations. And so if you're aware of the code, so you're going to modify your code, and you might be able to modify in the way so you know that it will be possible for the compiler to vectorize now. So you can modify the code by looking at these expressions, for example. So yeah, so it's gonna surely enhance the remarks, include the exact, so if it includes the exact source and destination of the dependencies within the array, for example, and it will pinpoint the lines of those dependencies. And let's look at the impact of these enhanced remarks. So it would be clarity for the developers, so they can quickly look where the dependencies are actually occurring, and so they can improve their code and probably make it vectorizable. And efficiency, in the terms of that, they can save time and improve efficiency by reducing the need for the deep debugging, that where was the actual data dependencies. So you can just look at the optimization remarks, and you get quite a lot of information that, okay, there is a data dependencies between two load and stores. So let's look at the approach that we took for solve this problem or this project. So approach was very simple, to just utilize the debug information that available into the intermediate representation, right? So to recreate the variable and the function names lost during the optimization. So the optimizations are actually a problem in our case, because we currently don't know how to build those, for example, instructions that's lost into the optimization. For example, so if you see a multiply, if you see MUL instruction in the IR, so compiler might optimize that into shift left. So So the MUL was the original information that was actually available in the source code. But right now we have shift left. So We just lose the context that what was the actual source level information. So that's still a problem for us, and we have different approach for that, but we didn't see to be it. So we see that it was not much a performance good. So it was very bad. So we wanted to clone the module. So we can look that what's happened after each optimizations. So we can have the clone of the original IR, and we can see that what's going on after every pass of optimization or every implementation passes. So if you look at the different transformation pass, and you have to look over that what's the thing that gets changed, and anything that you have stored that, okay, there was the original instruction as MUL, but right now it gets changed to shift left. So you see that, okay, the MUL gets changed to shift left. So you have to cache the expressions basically to reload the things in a new way. So if there is no need for that, so we will proceed after it. So let's see how to utilize that information that available in the IR. So LLVM uses a small set of intrinsic functions, if you are aware of. So those are provided for the debug information. So they contains different metadata. So they have different arguments. So these intrinsic functions are name prefixed by this LLVM.debug, and these thing helps you to track the variables through the optimizations and code generation. So if you look in the IR, so if you dump your IR with the -g symbol, so you will get to know about the LLVM.debug.value or .declare. So those contains everything related to the source level thing. So they contains the metadata information, and the metadata are there for that. So that can give you a lot more information about what was actually in the source. So for example, like variable names. So when you trace the metadata, so you can get the variable name from the actual source. So for us, these two intrinsic functions were very important, the debug.declare and the debug.value. And let's try to understand a bit. So if you can see, the I is allocated, and just below it you can see the call to the intrinsic function, which is .debug.declare, and these, so you can see the three arguments in the intrinsic function. The first will always represent the address of the variable. The second metadata always pointing to the, for example, you can see the DI local variable, so which contains, this is a metadata node, and it contains the variable name. So what was the actual name? So you can see the actual name was I in the actual source expression. So you can, when you trace back the information, so you can retrieve the name. So these intrinsic function can really help us a lot. And the second was actually the source, just the source information, like name. And the third argument is DI expression. And generally, DI expression is used as a complex expression. So you have expressions like, for example, int a is equals to b plus c. So a DI expression can hold that stuff. So debug declare is used for that. And the second is debug.value. So dot value is very similar to it. It's just that when a value is updated, so debug value can up, and so everything goes in the debug value for the same. So we now have enough information to at least give a try to build the source expressions, and only if the code is compiled with the debug info on. So it's compiled using the -g symbol. So we used LLVM intrinsic as a bridge. So our focus was on memory access and vectorization, as I said. So importance of the memory access pattern is, so we really want this project for vectorization at first, and then we also have a plan to give it a push into the debuggers, so debuggers can utilize this information to provide better remarks. But the main goal initially was the vectorization pass. Vectorization is a transformation pass, so a transformation pass can always query an analysis pass. And what our work is, our work was an analysis pass. So this vectorization pass in LLVM can always query the analysis pass, this transformation pass, okay? So project contribution is actually that we have built an analysis pass that can generate these mappings and provides better remarks for the case of vectorization or any other things that requires it. Let's look at the implementation detail. So for us, the point of interest is load and store instruction because of the vectorization, because we want to analyze the memory access patterns to actually emit in the vectorization, so which is useful for the remark. And for example, just take a look at this C code. And if you compile this with Clang O2-G, and if you emit the LLVM, just for showing you that what's going on. So I think it should be visible. So you can see the call to intrinsic functions, debug.7, so we can build these expressions from them. So as I said, so if you look, these were the first is to multiply n1, but it, and we compile it with the optimization on, so the multiply instruction gone away, and it just updated by shift lift operator, okay? So that's why you can see the shift left operator here and not multiply. So that's a problem. So that's a problem of accuracy of the expressions, because we still not have a good plan of how to accurately generate the expressions, because a lot many time these things gone away because of the optimizations on, and it's always been a hard problem of how to actually debug in the case of when optimizations are actually gone. So it's a classic problem which we still have to look. So you can see we can build these expressions from the instructions. So yeah, you can see this from example that computing the equivalent source expressions of interest will involve walking through the LLVM IR and using the information that provided in the debug intrinsics. So even though our current interest is load and store, but we still have to build for every instructions, because those load and store can contain any sort of instruction when you trace back to them. It's maybe any binary instruction. It contains gap instructions. So it might be contain any instructions, and we still have to build for them too. And as I said, that optimizations make it impossible to recover the original source expressions. So as you see that, for example, the 2 into n1 is optimized to n1 left shift 1, so which is recovering the original expression may not be possible every time. So let's look at how we proceed. It's just a basic algorithm that I just want to go through. So we started by traversing the IR. So we start with the traversing the IR. We identify the operations that were there, for example, load and store. So our main, so current interest is load and store instructions. So specifically look for those instructions in the IR and then trace those operands. It might be any other instructions. It might be inside any metadata, so we can retrieve any information like name. And utilizing those metadata information, building the source expressions. And then we reconstruct the expressions with all the information that we get. So that's a bit all, but just look at the current state. So it's still not yet upstream to LLVM. The peer is here. So what I need from you, or anyone you have experience, or anyone you have active in that zone of optimizations, or for example, analysis passes or transformation passes in LLVM. So I'd really like you to have a look at the patch. If you have some experience, try to review the code as well and give some feedback so we can proceed with much detail because it's still a new analysis and still need a lot of work for struct as well. So as I mentioned, we need more review on the patch and some active work from me as well. And if any of you are interested, please reach out. And as I said, the struct pose a unique challenge to when we try to build the expression for struct, for example, it was not quite easy. It was very difficult to build the expression for struct because they pose a unique challenge. If you see them in the intermediate representation, it's very weird to look at them because I don't know how they actually gets there in the IR, how they represent it. It's not as simple as the giving expressions for an array. So struct is still a problem. Accurate source level expression in case of optimization, it's still a problem. And there isn't always one-to-one mapping between the source code and IR. So if you see that we still don't know what to do in these cases. If you see, there's a pointer and the PTR 0. So IR can generate the same code for these two patterns, and we don't know which half to pick. So that's still a problem. One solution for this was that debug information also contained the information about the file. So there is a DI file in the debug info. So what we were discussing is, so we have still information about the file path. So what we can do is we can actually open the file and just go on that line and retrieve the information. What was the actual ground truth? Just look at that. Second thing was fall back on anything because we don't know what was there. So just fall back to any of them. So but the DI file was actually quite easy, but it's not good performance-wise if you see open the file and just going on that line and retrieving that. So it's not good performance-wise. So yeah, that's it for the talk, and thank you for listening. And if you're interested in knowing more about this project and the algorithm, please reach out to me on mail or, for example, Discord. So yeah, thank you. Any questions? Can you just re-ask the question?
So, you know, like, when you emit OptiMarks, there's a tool called the OptViewer that puts everything in line. Yeah. So, between that and what you have here, it seems that, you know, you would get excellent results in terms of debuggability if you just did what OptiViewer does, plus you specify which of the values are causing the dependence, like what you said, and what the reason for the failed optimization is.
Okay, so the question is basically about using OptViewer, right?
Yeah, I was emitting a more limited
view
that you have here, and not trying to reconstruct everything.
Yeah, so we still not reconstructing everything. For example, so we still not focusing on creating whole IR or just mapping whole IR to the expressions. We're still focusing on those loads and stores, as I said. So we're still focusing on that, right?
Right, but I mean, the pointer that you're reconstructing, that could be an arbitrarily long chain of order.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Tree.
Yes. Yes.
But you really only care about.
Yeah, so we still picking up the load and store. So if we see that, is there any gap instructions? Because gap instruction actually contains a chain of instructions. So but we still have to build the loop for loads and stores. And OptViewer is still not good at emitting those remarks. It's still very abstract in that sense, if I remember it correctly. So I'm not sure how to go with OpViewer, but we're still making it for load and stores and tracing back the informations. Yeah. Yep.
Did I get that correctly, that you chose to not use the IFI information because of performance reasons?
Yes.
Did you, I assume that you tested to figure out that it's
performance-related. Nope.
Do you have any idea then what the expected accuracy of these file lines would be compared to regenerating the expression?
I'm not sure, but one thing I can guess that, so basically opening a file is not something which is very good performance-wise, and just choosing and just going on that line down, because you can see that there could be multiple lines of code in code base. So you have to go on that particular line. So it would be very bad performance-wise, I think.
Okay, and there is no and there is no theory about if it would be more beneficial to tell the programmer the error that, or the suboptimal choice that you made was between line 27 and 28 compared to generating some arbitrarily complex expression that might not be even representative of what the program originally wrote.
I'm not sure about
that. Yeah, one thing we've used in the linker is that it's okay to be expensive on diagnostics. They're opt-in. Uh-huh. As long as it's not slow in the default case.
Okay.
But if you opt into it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it would be fine then if you're choosing for emitting of remarks, then you know that this is not good performance, right? So if you want to look at the actual correct remarks, so you have to going deep in the performance thing then. Yeah. Then it would be possible. And we have also. We also talking about preserving the metadata in LLVM as they go through, but in LLVM metadata is designed in a way so we can drop it any time. So we still cannot preserve the metadata information. So it's still a challenge. There's a lot more work going on this side. So yeah. Yep.
Do you have a few canonical examples? Like, you have an example there.
Yeah.
A few canonical examples that you could then use and say, hey, for example, if we use like what you suggested, here's what it looks, right? If you use only the line information, like the window of, here's what your solution, here's how much better you can get. Because then that you get a couple of things. One, you get the tests, right? Two, you can construct an argument about all these questions, right? Because maybe actually your suggestion would be absolutely simple,
yeah.
Right? And simpler, you don't have to worry about debug, accuracy,
okay.
All that kind of stuff. Like it, so everybody wins, right? Maybe you should look into it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we best stop because it's almost dead on
fire. Yep.
So we'll get kicked out in a second. But thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Everyone here, thank you for joining. When you leave, make sure to take everything, also the garbage, because it's all volunteers. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.